Hello, thank you for listening today and downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. Our mission statement is presenting Jesus, the revelation of grace and truth that transforms lives. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message.
I want to go a little deeper tonight with Sunday morning's message. Talk about God's questions that deserve honest answers from us. You remember, if you were here Sunday morning, how Jesus had just finished ministering to the multitudes, and he was tired. It was evening. He said, "Boys, let's get in the boat," to his disciples. They got in the boat. Jesus went on the back of the boat and laid down and went to sleep. And the disciples kept going across the Sea of Galilee. And not long after that, a storm blew. And the winds whipped up. Waves, it got so bad that waves were crashing into the bow of the boat. And it got so bad that the boat started sinking faster than they could bail water. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation like that, but that would be that'd be scary, wouldn't it? Especially at nighttime. The Sea of Galilee doesn't look like a lake. You can see across it, but it's a big, big place. And it's not like you're just going to get out there and swim back across. You know, not like a small lake. It's big. And so the boat was sinking, and the disciples panicked. And strangely, Jesus stays asleep. That's a puzzle to me. How he stayed asleep with such a storm brewing. Probably lightning flashing, the wind blowing, and water, rain. How can you sleep? And the boat jumping up and down. How can you sleep like that? Do anybody that sleeps that sound? I mean, that's amazing, isn't it? I'll take some of that, right? Here's a point, though. God allows storms, he allows difficulties, he allows things to come into our life that go wrong, and sometimes for us to even be put in danger. And when difficulties like this do happen, we should not ask, why is it happening? Because the Lord sometimes allows things to happen. Amen. He allows storms to come. And so in the middle of this, their panic and not knowing what else to do after doing everything they did, they awakened Jesus with an accusation. "Teacher, don't you care that we're perishing?" And we elaborated this on Sunday morning. They're basically saying, "Teacher, are you unconcerned about all that's happening in our lives?" And so Jesus calmly gets up, calms the storm, rebukes the storm, calms the storm. The wind and wave die down to their utter amazement. And then he asks the disciples two powerful questions that I think we ought to keep these questions before us for the next several weeks and just keep asking ourselves when we come into a trial or something that suddenly happens unexpected. We should ask ourselves these two questions. Why are you afraid? And where is your faith? Ask yourself that question right now. Why am I afraid? Where's my faith? You ought to keep those questions. You ought to write them down. Keep them before you. The next few weeks, you're going to have opportunity to use them. Next time you're afraid, why am I afraid? Where's my faith? Sunday, we dealt with the first question, why are you afraid? And tonight, I want to go a little deeper with where's your faith, the second question. So Jesus is rebuking the disciples with this question. They should have never been in a state of panic. We should never be in a state of panic. That doesn't sound realistic, does it? But look who's asking that question. And look who he's asking it to. And the question was so good, God said, "Put this in my book so people at Grace Tabernacle who don't think it's a realistic question can ask themselves the same question." The Lord is asking the same question. Where's your faith? They shouldn't have been in a state of panic. Matthew says it this way. He says it a little bit different. He says, Jesus said, "O ye of little faith." But it was still a rebuke. It was a rebuke for them for taking in fear and agitation while he's with them in the boat. Amen. I know this may sound harsh. It may sound unrealistic. But I think the Lord is revealing a great lesson here that we have to apply this to our lives. It is wrong for a Christian to ever be in such a state where he's lost control of himself, where he panics. It's wrong for a Christian to ever get into that kind of state. I'm not condemning anybody. I'm just trying to point out that the Lord is expecting greater things from us. And he only expects greater things from us because he's given us something that can keep that from happening. A Christian should never be like a worldly lost person who may panic and lose self-control. This is a typical reaction. If a boat's sinking, you're down out in the ocean at night or down in the sea, and it's lightning and everything all around. I mean, that's a natural reaction. But we are not natural people anymore once we're born again. Amen. I mean, the Lord is either really with us or he isn't. And so it may be a typical reaction for someone without Jesus, but it's absolutely wrong for a Christian. Let me ask you why. Why? Well, I already said Jesus is with us, yeah. But so why is it wrong for us to be afraid? Lacking faith. Okay. All right. I think these two questions, again, ought to be kept before us for the next several weeks, because I think the Lord will reveal some things to us if we just keep these two questions from him before us the next couple of weeks when things happen. Okay. Every time we have a trial, we should speak out loud to ourselves those two questions. Why are you afraid? Where's your faith? Faith is a gift. You know that, right? It's a gift from God. Romans 12:3 says every man's been given a measure of faith. So everybody has been given faith. Every believer has been given faith. And the faith you have is the same exact faith as Jesus. It's not different. It's not less than. Romans or Galatians 2:20 says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. The life I now live, Christ lives in me. The life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So it's not my faith that I'm working something up. I'm not hyping myself up. This is the faith of the Son of God, Gary, that he gave you. It's his faith. The same faith he did miracles with. The same faith he had that he walked on the water with. You heard Rodney Howard Brown say that, you know, that he had the same faith he had, you have. Amen. And Jesus is saying the same thing. He's saying the same faith that the Son of God had while he's walking on the earth here, on the earth, is the same faith that you have. And God expects us to use this faith to overcome every storm, every trial we'll ever have. Amen. Now, it's interesting to me that God calls every trial that we'll ever have a trial of faith. It's a testing of faith. It's a trial of faith, your faith. Every trial, every test you'll ever go through, whether it's physical, whether it's financial, whether it's emotional, whether it's your marriage or whatever, it's all, as God's concerned, a trial of your faith. It's a testing of your faith. And I'd like to take you to 1 Peter chapter 1 and show you a couple things as we go a little deeper into this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, Scripture says, you, talking about us believers, who are kept by the power of God through faith. We're protected by God by the faith that he gave us. We're still here because we've been protected by God through faith, the faith that he gave us. And it says, goes on to say, we've been protected and saved by faith by God. Back to the previous verse, please. For a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. a salvation ready to be revealed. Now, the next verse reveals that we do have some necessary trials we have to go through. We didn't volunteer for them. We didn't ask for them. It wasn't anything necessarily we caused. But God has ordained that we have some necessary trials. He says in verse 6, "In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a season, if need be, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials." Can I tell you that some trials in your life are absolutely necessary for you to go through in order for you to become the man or woman of God that God's destined you to be? They're necessary. It's important that you go through them. It's important that you have experience here. And so there are necessary trials, but we're protected by faith, but there are necessary trials of faith we must go through. Verse 7, that the genuineness of your faith, the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that's perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to the result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. The trial of your faith will prove the genuineness of your faith, that you're the real deal. You're not a phony. You're not a fake. You're not a counterfeit. You are a true believer. And it is the trial of your faith that reveals that, not only to the world, but it reveals it to you. And then in verse 8 and 9, it says, "And though you have not seen him," Jesus, "you love him. And you believe in him with great joy." And it goes on to say, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Now, you may not know this, but your spirit is saved and sealed when you are born again, but your soul is being saved. Your soul is your mind, your will, where you make decisions, your emotions. It's being saved. That's the part of you that's not always together yet. When the soul is saved, you are called whole, W-H-O-L-E, you're whole. You're made whole when your soul is saved. You're in harmony with God in your soul. Your mind is in agreement with Him. Your will is in agreement with Him. Your emotions are pleased with Him. And you have perfect peace, and it doesn't matter what happens here on the outside, because on the inside, you are content, peace, rest. Even in the midst of a storm. So your soul is in the process because you go through trials that are necessary where God is teaching you, don't panic. Don't be afraid. Why are you afraid? I'm with you. And you're practicing what you have believed. Jesus is with me. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. You preach to yourself. You speak to yourself. You remind yourself who you are. You're supernatural. Other people can panic and fall to pieces, but you can't. There's no need for you to fall to pieces. You got God living inside you. Now, church, that's either real or it isn't. It's the truth or it's a lie. It's you're either real or you're fake. What do you believe? And the trial reveals it. And Jesus rebuked the disciples, and he said to them, "Where's your faith?" Amen. They had faith, but the problem is they weren't using it. Had they used their faith, they wouldn't have panicked. Had we used our faith, we wouldn't panic. Amen. We wouldn't be afraid. Had we used our faith. So this salvation of our souls is the process where God is right now working on us while we're here on earth to make our souls saved. Saved doesn't mean necessarily just going to heaven when you die. It's a much bigger word. The word sozo, it's the present experience of God's power to save you, to preserve you, to protect you, to deliver you, to heal you, to make your soul whole like Jesus. And so our soul is being made whole. There are parts of our soul that right now still need healing. We've been wounded. We've been disappointed. We've been dejected. We've been hurt by people, hurt by things. And our soul is being healed. Being saved, you could say. The mind and emotions, until they're totally free of fear, anxiety, rising up in anger, jealousy, lust, hurry, worry, and all those things, then there's healing that has to take place in the soul. Are you understanding? Amen. That's what's going on. So our soul is under our control. SOS, SOS, SOS. What does that mean? Save our soul. If there's ever a plane crash or something, you'll hear on the news, they'll typically say, well, there was 209 souls lost. The soul is the most important part of you. It's the interior of you. You can have your exterior life perfect. You can have all the money that you need. You can have the perfect health you have that you would want. And everything's just perfect in your exterior life. But if your soul is not working in harmony with God, you're not whole. So we have this exterior life that you and I see each other right now, and you look like you all have it all together. That was a confession, huh? And then we have this interior life that no one sees unless they really get close to us. And through the windows of the eyes, the windows of the soul, you sometimes can discern, hey, things are not right. And so this Christian, the Christian is someone who has been given, like Rodney Howard Brown said, a well. When you're born again, the well, the Holy Spirit comes inside you. It turns into a river. And so the river is made to flow freely. That's why church services should flow with the Spirit. It shouldn't just be regimented and we do this and do this and do this. There should be a flow. When the Holy Spirit wants to go a different direction than we planned, then we should be free enough to just go with the flow. He might want to have a testimony service to the rest of the service, and that's fine by me. I'll get out of the way, and we'll flow with God. Are you understanding? But everybody here has got to learn to flow, too. Amen. You got to learn to flow with the Spirit of God. So we have this river of the Holy Spirit. It's made to flow into all the areas of our life. It's made to flow into every part of your life, every detail, your family, your marriage, how you deal with finances, how you deal with children, how you relate to one another. So the river is made to flow into all these different areas, everything in our life. And as the river flows, wherever it flows, it brings life. It brings renewal, refreshment from your spirit throughout all your soul, even into your body. I remember going to a counselor one time and talking to him about some issues I was going through myself. And I had several sessions with him. And he'd always begin the session with the same way. In fact, I hated it when he did this. But I realized now what he meant. He'd always begin the session this way. He'd ask me the question, how's your soul? How's your soul? You can't be superficial about that. You need to stop and think about that. Well, not good. I'm anxious about something. I'm angry about something. I'm frustrated. I'm agitated. Well, okay. Well, how's your soul? That's a big, good question for people to start asking you, or you look in the mirror in the morning and say, how's your soul doing? And be honest. The soul is the most important part of you. And so Jesus said, what would it profit a man if you had everything you wanted in your exterior life? You gained the whole world, but you lost your soul. What would it profit? Nothing. So your interior life, your soul, is the most important part of your life. Take care of it. Take care of your soul. You take care of your body, but take care of your soul. Feed it the living word of God. Exercise it to the glory of God and to your own amazement as well. So Jesus, back to this question, Jesus is asking us tonight this question. Gary, where's your faith? Lee, where's your faith? Joe, where's your faith? Alice, where's your faith? Pam, where's your faith? He's asking us a question. Now, he knows everything there is to know, so he's not asking for information he doesn't know. He's asking for us to stop and really think about this. The last trial you had, the last trial of faith you had, or the trial you're going through right now, or the trial you're going to face tomorrow, this ought to be the question. Where is your faith? You have it. You have it, but where is it at this moment? It ought to be here. It ought to be showing up in this storm. Why aren't you talking faith? Why aren't you speaking faith? Why aren't you applying it here? You already have it. Why aren't you using it? Those are questions you ask yourself. Not anybody else. You ask yourself that question. Because faith doesn't work automatically. Do you know that? Faith doesn't work automatically. It's got to be exercised. It's got to be applied by you. Amen. It ain't going to work just because you got it. You got to use it. So here's what the disciples should have done. I think Jesus was expecting this from them when he asked this question, where's your faith? They should have said in that boat, they should have said, hold on. Okay, I know this looks bad. I know the boat is sinking. We're going down, but we got Jesus with us. I don't understand why this is happening. I don't understand why he's not doing anything. But I'm not going to panic. I'm going to exercise self-control. I'm not going to panic. I'm not going to be afraid. And then I'm going to start speaking things that I know that God has told me in his word. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Amen. Or you start quoting scriptures to yourself. Be still and know that God is in control. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Gary, I mean, you speak to yourself, you see. This is how you're applying your faith. And if the disciples had done something like that at that very moment, I think Jesus, that the storm would have probably died down on its own. I don't know how much longer it would have taken. It might have taken an hour. I don't know. But if they'd have just stayed in faith, if they'd have kept believing, if they'd have kept speaking to themselves not to be afraid and encourage one another to get on through this thing, we're going to make it. We're not going to die. We're not going to perish. Jesus said, we're going to go the other side. We're going to go the other side. And if they just kept on staying in faith and believing and speaking the right things instead of letting fear come in and be voiced out of their mouth, I think that storm would eventually just died down itself. And Jesus would have got up refreshed and said, well, how's it going out here, boys? Oh, it's fine, Jesus. We had a little storm, but you slept through it. We're almost over there, the other side. You think that's unrealistic? It's not. Because you're supernatural. There are two words that make any situation a possibility for a miracle. And the words are, but God. I think if the disciples even just said that, I know it looks bad, boys. I know the boat is, we've bailed out as much as we can bail. I know the lightning's cracking all around us. I know we don't know what else to do, but God. If you don't have any scriptures memorized whatsoever, just start with those two words right there, because there's a bunch of scriptures, a bunch of sermons can be preached on all the scriptures that talk about, have the words, but God. Amen. But God. That changes, it's the game changer. Amen. Changes everything. Doctor comes in and says, sorry, there's nothing else we can do. I'm sorry, we're just going to send you to hospice or send you home to die. And you say, but God. You done wrote out all your bills, paid everything you can pay, and you got a new bill come in, and it's due, and you don't know what you're going to do. You say, well, but God. I don't know. You stay in faith. If you panic, you're giving in to the devil. Are you understanding?
Amen.
If you step into fear, you stepped out of faith. Amen. You're living as though there's no God, or God, he's asleep, and he can't do anything about it. Jesus was asleep on purpose because he wanted these boys to go through a necessary trial to exercise their faith. It was an opportunity. Your trial of faith is an opportunity. In fact, your next trial of faith is coming soon. Your next trial of faith is an opportunity to apply what you have and keep your soul free from worry, hurry, or fear. The question is, are you going to pass it this time? And here you are tonight on Wednesday night in church, hearing the preacher talk about this and warning you ahead of time, the trial's coming. Trial's coming. Don't be afraid. It comes to everybody. It's a necessary trial. Don't panic. God knows it's coming. He's not caught by surprise. He knows what's going to happen. He knows the car's going to break down. He knows the air conditioner's going to go away. Don't panic. Don't do what you did last time. This time, start speaking faith to yourself. Amen. If nothing else, just say, but God. And notice how gracious the Lord was with these disciples, even though he did rebuke them by saying, where's your faith? I mean, it was a loving rebuke. They needed to hear that, hey, you need to put to practice what you've been taught. He's very gracious with them. He did calm the storm down. And though he was disappointed with their response by not exercising the faith that they should have, he didn't turn away from them and say, now, look, I'm sick and tired of you boys. I ain't going to have nothing to do with you from here on out. Get on out of here. Wow. Aren't you glad he hasn't said that to you and me? Like, shouldn't you have been farther along by now, preacher? Yes, sir. Well, you just going over there and I don't want to have anything else to do with you. No, he took time with them. In fact, he was preparing them for their next one through this. And eventually, every one of them had their own personal storms that they went through. Every one of the disciples except John died a martyr's death. A martyr's death. I mean, they were put to death for their faith, executed. So they had the faith to go all the way to the finish line with Jesus. So the Lord gave them more opportunities. He's going to give you more opportunities. And the next time the Holy Spirit whispers in your mind these words, pay attention. He's going to say to you, in the midst of a storm, right? And you're not even conscious of God at that moment. Maybe it's a car accident. Maybe something. I'm not hoping nothing bad's going to happen to you. I'm just saying things happen and trouble happens in this world. Jesus warned us about that. In this world, you're going to have trouble. But so the next time something happens, I pray you hear the Holy Spirit whisper to you these words. Why are you afraid? Why? Where's your faith? Get it out and use it. Start using it. And make sure you keep the interior of your soul, right here, free from fear, anxiety, worry, stress, getting angry, getting upset, irritable, agitated. Just nah. Now, this part, I've got to make sure stays clean of all that stuff. I got to let the river flow. Jesus is with you. There is no need for anybody here to ever be afraid of anything. Nothing. Either it's true or it's a lie. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus in the trial, that very moment. I'm telling you, when bad things happen to Christians, the world should be taking notice of us and going, how in the world are you able to be calm in all this? Or when somebody does something that would normally make you fly off the handle, or somebody else fly, you and you don't, and you're just calm and peaceful about it. And people should look at you and say, how in the world, how come you didn't get angry and go over and punch that guy out? But honestly, the truth is, we don't see much difference between Christians than we do the world. And so nobody wants to hear what we have to say. And as a result of that, we have a church tonight. It's not full of people wanting to hear what we have to say. Because they say, I don't see. I'm not condemning anybody here. I'm just saying that's the natural result of the world. They don't see Jesus in us. And the best time to see Jesus in you is when you're in a trial. A storm. And you don't freak out like everybody else. I don't say this to pat myself on the back, because I haven't passed a lot of tests in my life, I'm sure, a lot. And I got a lot more to grow and mature as well in my soul. But I do remember several years ago, my wife likes to tell this story, that we had a night where the tornadoes came through our area, you know. And at that time, it was after midnight or something, and we got the phone started ringing, and it woke us up. You know how you get a phone call at midnight and it startles you, and Pam answered the phone, and one of the members of our church lived near us. They were warning us that, hey, there's been a warning that there's tornadoes touching down in this area. You need to take cover. You need to take cover. And so Pam woke me up. And you know how you get startled by hearing that kind of, what are we going to do? I got agitated about it. Because I was in a deep sleep, and I'd having a hard time go to sleep during that time. So I just went off into a deep sleep, and I got agitated. You remember, Pam. And the Lord just helped me at that moment. And I got agitated, and I got up, and I started marching around our bedroom there. And I spoke to that storm. I said, in the name of Jesus, you ain't going to touch our house, and you ain't going to threaten our sleep, and you're not going to touch our neighborhood, and you're not going to touch any of our church family. And get up and get out of here in the name of Jesus. I just went and rant and raved and all that kind of stuff. Is that true?
Yeah, it is.
And she's looking at me like, man, he done lost it. And you know what I did after that? Went right back into bed. I didn't take shelter. We went right back to bed. I said, Pam, just go back to sleep. Don't worry about it. And turn off the lights. And we went to sleep. The wind howled and all that kind of stuff. But not one thing happened. Amen. And I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm just trying to tell you that I was fortunate at that moment to have the state of soul to take my faith out and use it. Amen. And I got news for you. It works. And you got testimonies here too. Everybody here's got a testimony of a time where you took your faith out in the middle of a storm and you used it.
Amen.
Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
And that's what we're supposed to do. Amen. And we make a difference wherever we are because of that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's stand up and just praise God. Use your faith. Now just praise God right now with something you just heard tonight, and thank Him that He gave you something tonight to put to practice. It's relevant. You're going to use it. It's going to make a difference. Just thank Him out loud, would you? Come on. Shake the sleepiness off of you and just thank God for a moment. Give Him praise. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you. Your word works, God. Thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit living in us. Thank you that greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. Thank you, God. We are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you that your word works, God. Thank you for giving us faith, Lord. Thank you for giving us help, God. Thank you for necessary trials that teach us how to use our faith. Thank you, Father. And thank you for this church tonight where we gather together in your name. And you could help us, and we thank you. We pray now as we go home that the Holy Spirit will bring back to our remembrance Jesus' words. Why are you afraid? Where's your faith? Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Good night.